Greetings, strangers. I'm Britt.
And I'm Dee.
And welcome to another episode of It's a Strange World After All, the podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. Today's episode is the Thanksgiving Day episode, even though, I mean, we don't necessarily acknowledge Thanksgiving's Day. I mean, like, it's not like we celebrate, you know, Thanksgiving. We just,
yeah.
Wait, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We just, you know, get together as a family and eat. You know, that's, you know.
Pretty much.
You know, but, you know, we don't support the genocide behind it, is what we're saying.
Oh, no song. I thought you was...
Oh, dang.
Wait, hold on.
We have a little tradition.
Because a couple weeks ago, I had walked into work and my coworker was like, hey, do you know any Thanksgiving songs? And I was like, no.
Lies.
And then she was like, have you ever heard? And I was like, if she starts singing this song.
Have you ever heard what? Have you ever heard what? Have you heard what?
The one you were singing? I was like, why? Five
turkeys are we? We set all night in a tree. When that cook came around, we could be fast.
I was like,
why we hear you
sing? I was like, if she starts singing this song. And sure enough, because I said no for a reason. I thought she was just going to leave it alone.
No,
she
wasn't.
Said yes. And then she maybe she would have left them
been like, no, she probably would have been like, how does yours go? What's the one? Are we thinking what I'm thinking? 5, 6, 7, 8. 5 fat turkeys are we. We spent all night in a tree. When that cook came around, we couldn't be found. So that's why we hear you. It's a good song. It is a good song. I think it is. And then you can do it in any style. I've literally done it, I think, now in 3 different styles. Next year, I might have a little freestyle for y'all. Let's see. Well, it won't be a freestyle because I got to write it down. But yeah. I might, you know, do it like
Migos. Are you saying you're going to write your own Thanksgiving song? Or are you just going to sing that one in a different way?
I'm going to, you know, that's just going to be the chorus, but I'm going to rap. I don't know. I'm going to come up with a rap. I might compose it and everything, do the ad libs. It'd be like turkey, gravy. Couldn't find them. I don't know. We're going to come up with something. We're going to come up with something. I got a whole 365 days. I have a whole year to work on it. What if I do it and it just blows up? It's going to become the next green beans, tomatoes. Let me write this down so I
that
don't forget.
Is stupid.
We're going to remix 5 Fat Turkeys.
Oh, man.
Okay. Thanks, D, because I have forgot. So thank you, D. Because, you know.
I shouldn't have said nothing.
You shouldn't have. You played yourself. But what I didn't forget was another tradition that we like to do here. But I'm going to switch it up because we know those of you that are regular listeners, you know that Dee does not necessarily like telling what she's thankful for, which kind of sounds
Look,
bad.
I was like, we got another tradition.
Yeah, giving thanks. We usually give thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Which your explanation, I mean, was good. It wasn't like a cynical explanation, but I have 3 questions and I will answer them first to give you time to think about them. So the first one was, what is something, a good habit that you've already started? It could have been recent or not, that you want to take into next year. I wrote down gym, keeping up my workouts, keeping up movement. So I really want to keep staying consistent in the gym. That's something that I want to take into next year. A bad habit that we are trying to get rid of that we don't want to take into next year is the second question. Mine is going to be putting things off, but because of anxiety. So like sometimes anxiety can manifest itself as procrastination. So yeah, I just want to not bring that into next year. It's not, you know, falling into anxiety and then putting things off because then I get even more anxious because I put it off and I'm like, It was a waste of time. I was just an anxious mess either way. So that's the second one. And then the third one that is a new habit. So something that you haven't necessarily been doing or doing consistently that you want to do next year. Mine is reading. Next year, I want to actually get through the books that I bought and just get back into reading, because it was something that brought me joy as a kid, especially. So gym habit I'm taking with me. Procrastination is a habit that I'm trying to release and leave in this year. And then reading is a new habit that I want to pick up.
That's weird, because your last two is kind of similar to what I've been doing. Okay. Because I got a book already, and then I found the book that you bought me before I moved here.
Oh, yeah.
And I had started back reading that, and then I stopped. And then I have a whole list of books on Amazon that I'm about to get, because I said I was going to start back reading. And then, like, as far as anxiety, I've been taking, you remember I told you last, when we recorded last time, that I've been taking ashwagandha to help me with my anxiety and stress. So I was like, not to seem like I'm cheating or whatever, but to say, like, mine are kind of similar to yours. But what was the first one?
Because I wanted to show gratitude for where we were now. So what's something that you have been doing, whether it's something that you've always done or recently? or something that you just picked up that you want to take into next year? I'm sorry, I'm sneezing. Sorry. And allergies, leave these goddamn allergies in 2023. You can have them.
Okay, so what I have been really trying to be consistent with is my tarot. So, crazy thing happened to me, because I've been journaling it as well. So whatever I get, I try to journal it so I can memorize it, and so I won't have to keep looking up the meanings and stuff. So I started that on the 8th of November. And I got, what was my card? Because I'm a beginner, so I've just been doing, the one card pull. Yeah. So I got the 8 of Cups. And then 8 days later, I got the exact same card. And so then I was like, 888. Then I was like, okay, what does that mean? And then I looked it up, and it was basically saying that you are about to, because I want to get this right.
You don't look it up.
Mm-hmm. So it means abundance and prosperity. So it says it is strongly associated with abundance, prosperity, and financial success. I said, Lord, please, I hope so.
please, Lord Jesus.
I hope so. But I said, because I used to journal all the time, so I said I'm going to get back into that. So that's kind of helping me getting back into journaling.
Yeah.
In today's episode, we discuss the Seth Pravacki case.
I did just want to put out, even though the episode is marked as explicit, just a trigger warning for excessive violence. It's pretty triggering. Okay, let's get into this. Seth Stephen Pravacki was born June 2nd, 1980 in Muskegon, Michigan. On November 29th, 1998, 18-year-old Seth shot and killed his parents, brother, his brother's girlfriend, and his grandfather. At the time of the murders, Seth was a senior at Reith's Puffer High School. His classmates described him as quiet and soft-spoken. A family friend stated that Seth's father believed his son was a psychopath who didn't have a conscience, and that his mother said he was out of control. Before this, had they ever tried to get him counseling or in therapy?
I don't think so.
Because if you felt like that, what kind of help were you giving him?
Oh, no. I think he was. Wait, the year prior to the shooting, a court ordered Seth to attend counseling and to take the antidepressant Wellbutrin. I think
that's how you say it. Wellbutrin.
That's what I said, right?
Yeah, I think. Or did you say Butrin? Butrin? Butrin. I don't know.
Wellbutrin.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. This came after he was arrested for stealing beer from a store he worked at and selling it to minors, and shoplifting from another store. It isn't known if he had been taking the drug in the lead up to the shooting. He was placed on probation and sentenced to 10 days in a county youth home.
So no. So the answer to the question was no. They didn't do that. He had to do that.
They didn't, yeah, but he still was evaluated.
That's what I'm saying. If I feel that way, and this is not, I'm not blaming them, but I'm saying if I know that my child is having issues like that, what am I doing to try and help him?
Yeah, I mean, but.
Because this wasn't him thinking, this wasn't him saying, oh, he's a little trouble. He called him a psychopath. The makings of a serial killer.
But I mean, we don't actually know if that's what he said. This was just according to somebody else.
Oh.
Yeah, like after the fact, and then like all of their family and friends were being interviewed. So, I mean, we don't know if, yeah.
The night before the murder, security footage showed Seth attempting to buy a .22 caliber ammunition. He was rejected due to his age. And it is unclear where he obtained the ammunition used in the shooting. According to Seth, he had been arguing with his father for months. His father threatened to kick him out and said that he no longer loved him. Seth's aunt later said that his car had been taken away after he had gotten a C on his report card, and this enraged him.
Over Thanksgiving weekend, the family was preparing for a delayed holiday dinner. Seth grabbed his father's .22 Ruger handgun out of the closet and went downstairs, hiding the gun behind his back. After his father left to pick up his grandfather at 12:25 p.m., Seth shot his brother in the back of the head while he was watching TV before dragging his body into the basement. And that's just heartless. Because, like, what is your, like, why? Why would you do that? Because you got your car taken away?
Maybe. Mm. There has to be some sort of chemical imbalance is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is tragic. And then Seth waited for his father to come home, ambushing him and his grandfather in the garage and shooting them in the back of the head. He went upstairs and shot his mother after waiting for her to get out of the shower. His brother's girlfriend, April Boss, arrived and saw the bodies, which led to Seth shooting her as she walked into the kitchen. So, yeah, this is pretty tragic. And I'm wondering, well, no, never mind, because I don't know. Because I'm wondering how his mom didn't initially hear, because gunshots are loud.
Yeah.
Like, I guess she was in the shower. And again, I'm not blaming them. I'm just thinking, I wonder how she didn't hear. If she was upstairs the whole time.
Yeah, I thought about that, but then I was like, hold on. Because I don't think he... Wait, what kind of gun was it? A .22?
Yes.
A handgun? Because I was looking at what they looked like. Because I was like, yeah, how did she not hear that? Because did he have a... I don't think he would have had a silencer on there. Because I don't even know if... I don't know anything about guns. So I don't know.
I know a little bit. And I know... Yeah, he most likely didn't. And I think that would have come up in evidence that he had gotten a silencer.
Yeah, because he couldn't even buy the bullets. So I don't know. Yeah.
And I thought silencers were illegal. Which he got ammunition legally. I thought that they were.
I don't know. Because I don't know anything about guns.
You can't just be out here in these You can't just be out here in these streets. You can't just be out here in these streets shooting people with a silencer. Hold on. Oh, it says that they were illegal at some point, I believe, but because they call them firearm suppressors, but apparently under Texas law, they are now legal.
I was gonna say that's Texas. I'm not surprised.
Okay, so yeah, so silencers are legal, but they are regulated by federal law, but on a state-by-state basis, it's kind of like weed.
Mm.
I guess a state can choose. Yeah, in Michigan, they were illegal, but again, you can get anything.
At 2 o'clock p.m., Seth called his friend, Stephen Clayton Wallace, to help him clean up the scene. Stephen arrived about 30 minutes later. They wrapped the bodies in sheets and planned to bury them later. Stephen disposed of the gun and clip in a pond 10 miles away. After that, he returned a movie to Blockbuster, went home, and attended a church youth group. Sir. Oh, that's Stephen. I was like, what? I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, you thought that was Seth?
Yeah.
I mean, even for Stephen to
either
do
way,
that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seth disposed of the shell casings in a gas station trash can and went to the grocery store to buy duct tape. Stephen would return to Seth's home later that night. The bodies ended up being too heavy for either of them to carry, so they decided to arrange the bodies so it would look like a robbery.
I know that this comes up later, which I mean, it's going to come from Stephen, so who knows if he's telling the truth. But my thing is, what does he have anything to do with any of this? Was he aware of Seth's plan before? Again, I know that it's going to come up what he's saying, but you guys are young. You're in your late teens. Your friend calls you and he's killed his family. Even if, the only thing I can think of is if this was premeditated, you talked to him about it and this was always the plan, or maybe you were afraid of him. Let's say you were afraid, but as soon as he let me go, like as soon as I went to go do these things, I would have asked for help. I would have explained what happened.
So when he called me, I would have been like, oh, okay, I'll be over there in a minute, but I would have called the police.
Hello, police.
Police. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's insane.
I don't understand why he helped.
I don't either. Okay, so around midnight, April's parents, and this is the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm, the brother's girlfriend.
Her parents, who had been looking for her, pulled into the home, which made Seth and Stephen flee into the woods. April's parents entered the home and immediately called the police, which is what Stephen should have did, but that's okay. Shortly after the officers arrived, Stephen was apprehended by police using tracking dogs after being seen running out of the woods. He admitted to what happened and began cooperating with authorities.
A manhunt for Seth began, and his high school went on lockdown out of fear that he would show up. Seth hid for nearly 13 hours before being found in a barn a mile from his home. A schoolmate had given him a ride and tipped off the police to his location, as he should.
His schoolmate must not have known what was going on, or did he take hostage of?
No, I think he knew. He just gave him a ride and then called the police.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Seth Pravacki was jailed on a $5 million bail and charged with 5 counts of open murder on December 1st, 1998. Stephen Wallace was held on the same charges. Seth initially claimed that his brother, Jedediah, committed the murders, saying the murders were the result of a murder-suicide pact between the two of them that went wrong. He would later confess the day after the shootings.
So how would it have went wrong? Like, he just decided that he wasn't going to do it at the end? Or what? Is that what he's trying to say?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, because a murder-suicide pact would mean that you plan to murder everyone and then kill yourself, right?
Yeah. And Jedediah was the first one that he
killed. Yeah, but they don't know that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't
know
that.
I mean, yeah,
but
they could easily find that out later, though.
That's true. He's obviously not thinking. I mean, he's obviously young.
Yeah.
He was just spitballing. But maybe this is just, in my opinion, my dumb opinion. I believe that in 2023 too. I believe it in 2023 too. But is that okay? If this was a murder suicide pact, let's just say he didn't kill his brother first. Let's just say that he's thinking that they wouldn't realize that. So you kill the entire family. Your brother kills himself. You're about to do the same for yourself, but the girlfriend walks in. You panic. You shoot her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure that's probably how he was going to try, and
he would still kill himself, though.
Well, I know that. I mean, well, obviously.
Oh.
Like, and then that's not what happened. Well, we're thinking that that's not what happened anyway. So this is just a theory. Is that he was about to kill himself, but then she walked in. He panics because, oh, now I've killed someone that wasn't a part of this. So now what do I do? I don't know.
You kill yourself like you were supposed to do if that was the truth.
I get what you're saying, which I mean would prove that it's probably not the truth. But in his head, I'm thinking that's where he was going with that. Like,
who knows? Because I was going to say this had to have been like premeditated, though, because he went to try to buy bullets. So for his theory, like, there is no evidence of his brother being involved at all, even though he did confess the next day. But he was the one on camera.
That's
trying
true.
To buy bullets.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense unless the only thing, other thing I can think of is because remember her parents. So I'm sorry, I'm missing a part of the story. Her parents came looking for her because even if you're giving a timeline, you could lie on the timeline because he's lying anyway. So maybe he got caught as he was about to do it by her parents. And so they foiled his plan. I don't know. But he came back and said that wasn't the truth anyway. So
Seth pled no contest and was convicted of 5 counts of first degree murder and 5 counts of felony firearm charges. Seth was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole on May 27, 1999. Stephen's charges were later downgraded to 5 felony firearm charges and 5 counts of being an accessory to the crime. Stephen was acquitted by a jury in November 1999 after his defense argued that he only helped Seth because he feared for his life. So that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you wouldn't be fearing for your life if you wouldn't have went over there, unless he called him over there without telling him what happened.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was going with at first, was like, oh, this was a surprise.
Yeah, if he would have told me what he did, then I would have been like, no, I'm calling the police. So it makes more sense if he didn't tell him and he just showed up and then saw everything. That makes sense.
But even still, that's why I think he's lying. I think maybe he had already known the plan. Even if you knew the plan and didn't think he was going to follow through with the plan, he followed through. I'm fearing for my life. He had a chance. He left. He went to church.
He went to Blockbuster.
He went to Blockbuster, which I don't know if that was like to be a part of an alibi. Like, I don't know what they were thinking would happen with this, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't wholeheartedly trust what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. Like, granted, he was a teen and, you know, their brains are not fully developed, but
I'd still know right from wrong. And then, like, yeah, okay, I helped him because I feared for my life. But soon as you left, you should have went to the police.
But, like, for real, though, because I'm not trying to be funny, but you killed your family. Like, what makes me think that you're not going to turn around and kill me? Like, I could say, okay, yeah, I'm going to help you because I'm afraid. But then I'm thinking, okay, if I come back and help him, who was to keep him from murdering me? You killed your own flesh and blood.
Oh, yeah. And then he did go back. Then, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You left and then you came back. That was my thing. Is why didn't you call for help?
I would have came back with the police.
Or came back
with
the police.
Well, I wouldn't even came back.
Go ahead.
Just call
the
police and, yeah.
Hello, police. You hit what old boy did in Omaima. That. And he was like, okay, yeah, I help you. Hello, police.
Yep.
You save your life? Yeah, because I can't. I don't know. On July 15th, 2010, Seth was shot and killed during a failed prison escape at Kinross Correctional Facility. He had been running across the street from the prison when a corrections officer shot him in the head. Following Seth's death, Stephen said he regretted never asking Seth why he killed his family. Why are we? Because this young man didn't kill anybody. This young man, like, tried to help with the bodies, but he never killed anybody. And I'm not the type that believes, like, an eye for an eye anyway, so I don't believe I don't, let me not say believe, because I know that it exists. That's not the word that I'm looking for. I don't agree with the death penalty. Why are your corrections officers automatically shooting someone in the head to keep them from fleeing prison? And he don't have no weapons. He couldn't have done anything.
The thing was, because I left it out because I didn't feel like, because it mentioned a whole bunch of other people. So I was like, that don't have nothing to do with this. But I, there was some kind of a riot. Like him and a group of other prisoners started like a riot so they could escape. And it involved them beating officers. So they were basically protecting themselves, though. Again, he was running away. He didn't have to shoot him in the head. But I mean, it
was
just,
that's all I was thinking.
I think it was just chaos. And
Yeah, I just pictured like step over, like the, not again, not to be funny, but that's what I pictured.
It's my life.
Step over. Yeah, like the gun line. Yeah, like he's literally just running and there's nothing, you know. Okay, okay, that helps. Final thoughts.
I just want to know why. Like, why would you do that? Like, why would you do something like that? I mean, okay, they were threatening to put you out. They took your car. That was about it. That's not a reason to kill your whole family.
No, I agree.
There had to be something, because I wonder what all happened during, like, when he was ordered to go to counseling. I mean, I'm pretty sure they could have picked up on something. I mean, they prescribed him something, but still, they should have been making sure he was on his Medicaid. Well, because I don't want it to seem like I'm blaming them.
Yeah.
But I'm not blaming them. So it's just a lot of stuff that could have been done before it even got to this point. Because he was always problematic. He was always in trouble. So I don't know. I wonder why he did that. And then you can't be like, yeah, how did it get to that point? Because you can't be like, oh, he just snapped. Because some thought went into it, because he went to go buy bullets.
And if that person that made that statement is a credible source, the family was already concerned about his behavior. Yeah, it's tragic. Yeah, the only thing that I can think of is he was just sick and he needed more help than, in my opinion, what they were willing to provide him. Or it could even be because do we know what their economic status was? Were they like middle class?
I think they're just like a middle class family.
Maybe they couldn't afford treatment, because it goes back to, like you said, he was going to counseling, but it was forced counseling. It was forced counseling as a result of something that he'd done, maybe to even get attention.
And then we don't even know how long he even was in counseling.
That's true.
So,
yeah. So many questions. Anything else?
I think that's it for me.
All right, that's it for D, which means, I guess that's it for me, which means that is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms D mentioned. Even if you just want to say, hey there, we'll be there.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of
It's a Strange World After All. And for those of you that have been with us since season one, thank you, thank you, thank you for always keeping it strange with us. For new listeners, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are wrapping up
Thank you.
Season 3, and I've got high hopes for season 4. High apple pie in the sky hopes for season 4. I said it here.
There you go.
It's so hard to say goodbye to the season 3.
So what?
To the season 3.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.